digital marketer. This week, Destiny Berman.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Snavely, and today I got the awesome opportunity to talk to Destiny Berman. She's the founder of Launch Your Calling. She's an expert in launching digital courses, and I love this episode. It's full of so much great advice. If you have launched a course, or if you've ever thought about launching your own online course or coaching program, this one's awesome. We get into the nitty-gritty of how to develop your course, how to create your community and keep them engaged, whether they've already bought from you and ended the course like a year ago. We talk about nurturing your list for the launch, what those touch points look like throughout the launch. And we look ahead into some of the trends she's seeing for 2020 and why you shouldn't be afraid of tech. So if you're ready to launch your calling, this one's for you. I hope you enjoy it. Destiny, hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm really happy to be here with you.
Yeah, me too. I was poking around on your website, and I really loved how much, like how well you really know your client and your customer. Like all the copy I was seeing, you know, it spoke to their pain points, and it spoke to the things that they find important, but it's also like one of the little parts you said, how did a corporate ladder Capricorn find her calling, helping spiritual workers, holistic healers, and intuitive artists? It's so perfect because they know exactly what it means to be a Capricorn.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So how did a corporate ladder Capricorn get started in this?
That's a good question. I've been on this personal growth, yoga, self-help, spiritual growth journey for a long time. And, you know, I love working in tech. I'm in San Francisco. I'm still in San Francisco, and just working at companies that are always innovating and really creating, right? Whether it's Uber or Airbnb or Pinterest, and just breaking out into new fields. I love that. And during this process of self-discovery, I was like, wow, I'm really meant to be an entrepreneur. And that's really my calling. And so then it's all about, well, what type of entrepreneur do I want to be? And so I took all the digital marketing background, the tech background, and then merged it with my love for personal growth and spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been expanding and working more with experts also in the coaching transformation space. So that's been growing. And my people are just so deep and passionate and purposeful. And they're all about service and mission. And that's just what I love.
I mean, I think it's important to choose the clients, the kind of people that you want to work with. And I think you kind of found that path really easily. What was it like? What were you doing in Silicon Valley?
I was running marketing campaigns. So the last company I was at, we created the term modern marketer. And so we were a marketing automation company that got acquired by Oracle eventually. And so I've always been in the buying media or running marketing campaigns, growing revenue space. I worked with a lot of brands like Sephora and Twitter, Microsoft, and it was all around how do we leverage what they're doing today to grow more revenue using advertising and then using marketing automation. So I've always played in that space, just working with large scale budgets and recognized brands.
Yeah. Do you feel like going from one-to-one to one-to-many is something your clients are usually prepared for when they find you? Or is it, you know, what are some of the benefits of doing that?
Yes. So that's interesting because there are limits and there are upsides to both models. So mm-hmm. one-to-one, much more straightforward, can be highly profitable because you don't need huge advertising dollars against it. But at some point, you've just hit a limit. Like there's no more travel you can do. There's no more one-on-one you can do or just in person. And so then at that point, you have to look at one-to-many. And I find that every business owner hits this point if things are going well. And so then the question becomes, well, how much do I really want to invest to figure this out? How much do I really want to invest to be able to advertise and develop digital products and digital content? But it's a big switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the conversation going on in people's heads is like, okay, now I'm going to scale and now I'm going to make all this money. Well, you will, but it takes time to figure that out and it takes time to figure out the profitability. So you can absolutely do it. and you want to follow systems and stick to a strategy. I think many times business owners try to launch too many things, trying to figure it out when they switch from one-on-one to one-to-many, and that can work against you.
Yeah. What are some of the first things you need to be thinking about when you're thinking of launching those coaching programs?
So ideally, if you already have a strong, fruitful offline business, let's just say one-to-one or offline business, mm-hmm. you want to start with the low-hanging fruit, right? So what is it that your people already know you for? And what types of content do you have in one-on-one or in person that can get translated into a digital offer? That to me is like the nearest to your heart and the easiest to move over. And people already know you for that. And what's great about that is that the people who are working with you one-on-one or in person can, many of them, they want access to the online curriculum and the online content. So you can do a digital course launch pretty quickly and successfully if you start there. So it's starting with what you know and how you're known, and before you start to go too big and too crazy.
Yeah. So what would you recommend someone who's starting? So let's pretend, I'm sure there are people listening right now who are like, having a course sounds like the best way to make passive income. How long should their course be? When should they open it? Should they close it? I mean, I know there's so many questions. So kind of what are your recommendations for someone jumping into this for the first time?
So in terms of fundamentals, and if this is someone starting at the very beginning, I would recommend a shorter course. So 4 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Ideally, you don't want to start off with a bigger course in the beginning just because there's too much to figure out. And you also want to be able to relaunch this course as quickly as possible in the beginning. So you're building that muscle and you're building up momentum. So that's my recommendation. On the shorter side, I've had people who've launched their first skinny launch with a 3-week course, and that's been tremendous and great. So start small and simple so you don't overwhelm yourself. And the core, the fundamental principles apply to every launch, no matter the size. You need to have an audience to launch to. It could be moving your existing one-on-one and offline people into online. You need to nurture them because you have to build that relationship in the digital environment. Mm. And then there is the actual enrollment and actually filling up the program. But the lead building, audience building, and nurturing applies to any launch, whether it's your 10th launch, first launch, or 100th launch.
So is there an amount of students that is too small, or an amount that's too big when you're kind of starting out?
So I believe that if you end up having a good problem, which means there are too many people than you anticipated, you'll figure that out. Mm-hmm. Our human nature, and especially if you've been teaching or working with clients, you can figure that out. So I like to say that's a good problem to have, and I'm not too worried about setting the limit. In terms of too small, it really varies. And I have this conversation with my students all the time. Like, what's a worthwhile number for you? For your first launch. And for some people, it's 20 people. Like 20 people is great for a first mm-hmm. launch. And some people, they're like, well, you know, I feel like 40 to 50 because they're just doing so much and they've been really successful. Like, that's great too. So I find that there's a sweet spot number of dozens, like 20-ish people. For many people, that's worthwhile as a first launch. And there are people who do hundreds in the first launch. It's based on where you're at and based on what's worthwhile for you to explore adding this new revenue stream.
Yeah. Do you drip content? Because, okay, here's one thing I'll say. I know that in the times where we've had dripped content, the people want all their content right when they want it right then. But if we give it to them all at once, mm-hmm. they don't sometimes go through it and can get overwhelmed really easily. So, I mean, I think dripped content is better. what's kind of the theory on that as far as courses go?
So most of my clients, because I've helped launch I've been a part of about 70 different launches that I've led. I've launched like dozens of just completely brand new programs in the last years. I would say 70 to 80% are dripped content for that exact reason. It does drive more engagement. You know, it has more sense, a sense of community because you're releasing one at a time. And so you're replicating the live process in that mm-hmm. sense. However, with certain types of content, it does make sense to give people all the content at once. So for example, with my own course, you know, I'm teaching people how to launch digital courses. And what I realized was that business owners coming into it were at different stages. And for me to force the release of that weekly content when some people were ready to launch in 3 weeks versus 6 months, it wasn't a service to them. And so that's ultimately what I come back to. Based on service, based on how I'm servicing this audience and being informed of the content, what makes more sense? Astrology, crystals, relationship coaching, most of the time drip content is amazing and it does drive more. It is more engagement.
Yeah. So it's kind of dependent on who you're talking to and who the course is made for. So if you're selling it towards a specific type of person, that's great. But if it's kind of all over the place, just give it to them. Let them decide.
Exactly. And, you know, you want to do your best with driving community and building community. So we'll have, you know, automated triggers based on actions taken to try to get them back into the course. And we have a lively Facebook community. You know, we have supporting live calls. So there are things you want to do to build that community, because I believe that's also where it's headed. There's digital courses at scale, but also community building is just as important.
Yeah. Take me through some of those engagement strategies. So you mentioned like automated messages. Like when would those go off?
It depends. So for us, if they're about 3 modules in, just based on the content of the first 3 modules, that triggers a particular email. If they're in the program where they have a one-on-one call with me, then that triggers another email based on 2 weeks into the course. I have my team schedule regular check-in posts inside the Facebook community based on where I believe people are at, even though they may be, some people could be in week 3 and some people could be in week 6, but I'll have a check-in, like what type of nurture content are you working on this week? So I try to align it with that. It's not always perfect, but it does drive response and it gets people thinking about it.
So you have people of all levels in all parts of your course, kind of inside of your community. Does that pose problems with engagement?
I don't think so. Now, it's not like I've pulled every single person. However, what I find is that people like seeing themselves a little further down the road.
Yeah.
Right. So you have someone who's launched their flagship program twice. You have someone who is just getting going. And it's actually really inspiring for them to see, or someone who's launched an online summit as part of their launch, and someone who wants to launch it, they can really tap into and collaborate. So for my community, I find it works beautifully. I think that if you are doing more of a closed school system, like a yoga program or an astrology program, where everyone needs to move through the content at one time, you want to keep the levels in the community at the same.
Yeah. The community aspect is really interesting to me, because at a certain point, are they finished with the course itself? And they're kind of sticking around to help others. And tell me a little bit about how you keep nurturing them.
Yes, this is an interesting point, because it's funny, because a while back I was deciding, do we want to keep people inside the live curriculum, inside the live Facebook group, if they've already completed, you know, their live calls and their sessions? And I made the choice to keep people in because it just felt like it really fed the community and it makes sense. Now, my school is less than 2 years old of my own product. So maybe we were talking in a year and a half. But right now, I find it really supportive and really engaging. So then how do I keep them nurtured?
Yeah,
so,
I keep them interested. Yeah.
So for most of my digital course launches, including my own, there's a bigger offer that makes sense at that second lead in. And so every now and then, and this is very intuitive, where we'll do like a bonus alumni call. And I find that works really well. So essentially it's a webinar. It's for alumni who's been inside the school for a certain amount of time. I do live Q&A, live mentoring, and that works really well.
So in your 9-week course, I mean, this is the one that's 9 weeks, right?
It's 9 weeks of content and they're in the program for 3 months.
Okay. So in the course itself, are they creating their assets as they go along so that by the end, they're totally launched?
Yes. Yes. So yeah. they have the support and the guidance with creating the content and then actually picking which launch strategy they want to go with. Meaning if they want to build new email leads, I give them 4 core strategies: webinars, summits, challenges, and then of course there's a lead magnet, the freebie component to it. So I give them the core strategies and they pick their path. So there's a course creation / delivery, and then there's a launch piece, and they actually get to the launch part of the course. And that's really what I care about.
Yeah. So let's talk about that launch. I love that. So what do you recommend when it comes to launching your course? What does that marketing look like?
So my disclaimer here is there are so many ways to launch, and of course you can get creative with it. But my skinny launch model is we are building up new emails, especially if you're starting from the beginning. If you already have an email base, great, and let's still continue to build up new emails with free content. Then we nurture people for 8 weeks. So every single week, we're nurturing them either with a short video or a blog post, and you're mailing them directly to the piece of nurture content. And then we open cart for between 10 to 14 days.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a longer cart than I realize some other marketers may have. But I just find that people, you know, there's so much noise and there's so much going on out there that it's easy to miss an email. You know, no matter how many people you have talking about it, I just find that it's a little bit more spacious to have a longer cart.
Yeah, and that 8-week buildup is a long time. That's, you know, that's a huge series to be creating. So is it like 8 1-week series? Are you sending mails like every 2 or 3 days? Or is it, how are they all connected? What does that structure look like?
So it's once a week for 8 weeks. And here's a bigger picture. At the end of the day, if we are driving, you know, if we're building up our email list with ads, right? Facebook ads, Instagram ads, YouTube. The reality is that they need to see us with multiple touch points. And so unless you already have a weekly podcast, unless you're already doing weekly lives, you have to be able to nurture your people more than just a webinar. Now, am I saying that you can't drive cold traffic to a webinar and then make sales? Absolutely. And if you look at the data generally, especially with bigger programs, a bigger investment program, people need to know about you anywhere between 2 to 4 months. And so for people who don't have a podcast, people who aren't already doing weekly lives, if they send an email out to their week once a week for 8 weeks, driving them to a piece of high value content that is getting them thinking about the offer they're about to release, whether it's solving relationship problems or Reiki as tied to healing or parenting, then that's a really nice way to ease into this. Now, over time, people start to do podcasts and they start to do weekly lives, and that's great. But we really just have to be nurturing people with multiple touch points. And I think this whole idea of just cold traffic to a webinar and then expecting a certain number of conversions, like it just gets diluted based on advertising costs and where you want to go.
So it's 1 mail per week. And then what does the targeting strategy look like on the ad front?
Yes. So either to a lead magnet, and I like driving people to a webinar as well. We're just not selling on every webinar, but lead magnet works really, really great. I love PDFs, worksheets. Those are just really digestible. So you drive them to the lead magnet, you nurture them, your full list for 8 weeks, and then you open enrollment. So anyone new that comes in are now get pulled into that 8-week nurture sequence.
Yeah.
Towards the end of that 8 weeks, well, they may not get the full sequence before they get in cart. But then you'll find that when you relaunch 2 to 3 months later, they're now going to get pulled in that sequence. And when we look at data, they'll convert, you know, anywhere between first, second, or third launch based on what you're doing.
Yeah. Are you separating your email list? So you have, you know, a base email list, the full one, and then segmenting out? How does that work?
We are segmenting, and the wait list, having a wait list page is also a part of the strategy that I teach. Mm-hmm. However, in the beginning, when you're just nurturing, I recommend nurturing the full list until your list gets sizable enough for it to make sense to do proper segmentation. But in the beginning, I highly recommend, as you're getting your launch muscle in place, nurture your full list, get feedback, see what they're saying, and build, you know, as big of a field as possible when you launch.
Yeah. At what point would you consider, you know, someone on your list not engaged? How long do you give them before you kind of give up on them for that launch?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm always looking at how many people on the email list haven't opened up one email in 6 months. Mm. And then, of course, the next touch point, 12 months. 12 months is really long, but, you know, it just depends on what you want to test. So 6 months, you know, that's like the first threshold. I have looked at data for 3 months. It's just, you know, sometimes what I find is that people are really busy and at some point they will get reinterested in it.
Right.
You know, 6 months, you know, we'll do a couple of things. We'll try to survey them. We'll offer them a free gift that's new. Pull them into a 3-part video sequence to try to re-engage them. And then we also test targeting with ads to that unengaged part of the list.
So on the opposite end, you'll have people who have already bought. So what does that look like for encouraging new purchases, creating new courses? How do you, obviously they're still engaged if they're in the Facebook group. So how do you encourage them to buy again? And what are you encouraging them to buy again?
A strategy that I love is to have essentially what I call, there's a level one. So there's your core offer, because you also don't want to dilute yourself when you're just launching, you're launching too many offers. So having your core offer. A lot of my private clients, their core offer is anywhere between 1 to 3,000. And then if you are, a lot of my students are launching core offers between 500 to 1,000. It's just based on what stage and what you want to do. So core offer. And then a level two would be the next step, the advanced level of your first offer. And that upsell is really nice because that creates a lot of profitability. So if I were used to use the astrology school, we've got a level one where you're learning how to study astrology for yourself. And then a level two where you learn how to read friends and family's astrology chart. So that just makes sense as a sequence.
Yeah.
So if you think about your content, regardless of whether it's business or, you know, life coaching or marketing, of a level one and a level two, like what's the next step based on what your people would want and need that you're qualified to teach, that's a really nice level two upsell offer.
Okay, that makes sense. So I want to kind of get into some of the, like, the feeling stuff. So, you know, I'm sure people listening who are maybe like, yeah, sounds great. I'd love to do my course. And then as soon as you said you recommend charging 1 to 3,000, maybe some of them were like, yeah, get that money. And maybe some of them were like, how do I convince someone to pay me that much money? And I am not an expert. And how do I start feeling like an expert in something?
Mm. So this is money and pricing, obviously, or maybe not obviously, but it just hits on so many things within us, our worthiness, our value, who am I to be doing this? And I find that this is a common human experience. So I work with clients and students at all levels of business and levels of expertise, from best-selling authors to, you know, folks who are in their first 3 years of teaching, working with clients. And regardless of what stage you're at, like, no, this is normal and this is to be expected. And number two, we don't all have to start with a $1,000 to $3,000 product. You know, my private clients generally have been in business for a while or have been doing astrology for 40 years and they've built up, you know, a lot of different experiences. So you could always, and one of the strategies I give my students is to beta test and to do a pilot program where I don't recommend you do it for free, but at a discounted rate, 500, right? If you were going to launch a $1,000 product, even 300, if just to get you in the game. It's more important to get in the game and to prove this experience to yourself than above all else. Like, for the first time, if you're really questioning yourself and how am I going to charge for this, it's more important to get in the game, have the confidence, make a little bit of money, and then know you can build from there. I have a client who, her first launch, we had 35 people at a $1,000 product. And we designed an upsell funnel where we had $2,000 and above. But the point is that 4.5 years later, we have close to 2,000 people.
Wow.
At the school. So don't feel like starting small is setting back. Starting small is getting this real and proving this to yourself. And if you can't have 20 people inside that first group, you can get this to 200 into 2000. It's about sticking with it. So beta pricing is a good way to go if you're feeling really confronted by this. And nothing is going to give you more confidence than when your students going through it are giving you incredible feedback. Like, wow, this transformed my life. Like, this transformed my relationship. And that's going to give you the confidence to keep increasing it to where it needs to be or where you want it to be.
Yeah, I love that so much. Part of my role at DM is like working with contributors and working with some of our internal staff about to create content and products. And a lot of times when internal staff are going to be like doing something for the first time and presenting something, they can get really in their heads about like, ah, everyone else has always been such a genius on the digital marketer like staff. What if I don't compare or whatever? And like, my main thing to them is always saying that it's not even about them. It's about helping the person who needs it. And like, no matter what, you have something to say and something that someone will not know, and it'll help someone.
Exactly. I love that you said that because it's so true. You know, and we get so worried about the perfect product and the finished product. And guess what? There's no such thing as a perfect or finished product. And I like to give examples of like Airbnb and like Uber. Like, have you seen the first Uber logo? Or Airbnb? They launched as Airbnb Breakfast.
Hmm.
It was like with three rooms and they were still figuring it out. So Don't worry about having the finished product. As long as you can help someone from a genuine place and you're coming from that place of service, like that's most important.
So when it comes to, you know, knowing the kind of content that you want to do and the kind of course you want to release, now that is kind of caught on to do online courses, a lot of people starting may feel like it's very saturated. So how would they find their fit? How would they find where they belong with the content?
So one, it starts with you. So it starts with your story. It starts with your training and your background and what you're passionate about teaching, especially with what the business and the work you already have today. So it all starts with you. And yes, there is a lot of content out there and there's only going to be more digital courses. And guess what? There's going to be more people who are consuming content online. And for many of us who are looking to build a six-figure business, you're carving out a tiny percentage, a tiny conversion out of the billions of people who are online consuming content today. So the good news is for you to build, unless you're looking to go out and convert thousands of people today, you really are converting a relatively tiny percentage of the number of people who are your people. So it starts with you. It starts with what you're passionate about, obviously your background and your story. And then it's about, okay, who do I want to serve? And there's so much content around niching down. And I just had a great conversation about this yesterday. You know, are we niching down by demographic or are we niching down by topic, right? And so you'll find your people if you're true to yourself and you're clear on how you want to serve and who you want to serve. And then you're going to carve out your universe in this massive sphere of online content. And if you keep sticking with this and you keep relaunching and relaunching, you will build up that community and you will be known for that. So the question I like to ask my students is really two questions. How do you want to be known? And how do you not want to be known?
Hmm.
And in those two, you'll figure out your identity and where you want to go with this.
Wow, that's huge. So what I want to know is going into 2020, what are some of the next big things in online courses and online launches?
One is to be prepared to have multiple touches of engagement. So yes, it is getting more saturated. Yes, the consumer gets to have more choices. That's not necessarily a bad thing, in my opinion. However, that means that you will want to continue to touch people over Facebook Messenger, regular contact over emails, and doing videos and live streams. So you want people to be able to see you across multiple channels and remember you. And so with clients where we've been launching for a long time, we have multiple touches of engagement. Every time we launch, we have that drift chat box that pops up so people can message us with any questions, right? And we'll make short personal videos during a cart. I don't recommend this for the first time, but for cart to segments of the list so that you're bringing in another layer of engagement. So that's one. Two, I think that in the marketing and business space in particular, mindset work and consciousness work, we're just heading towards that way, because I can give you the best strategy in the world, but if your internal isn't ready, you're never going to take action. And so really working with the mindset, and this applies to really all programs, because whether you're choosing to make a change in your relationship or choosing to take a big leap in your own growth, you'll have to work with your internal state. So it's inner married with outer. That's a big deal. I'm seeing that a lot of teachers who traditionally work with only women are now expanding to include men. And I find that I believe we're going to get to a point where it's going to be more balanced. So it's not just a woman entrepreneur only working with women. It's now we're just working with people mm-hmm. who have character and the qualities and the characteristics that are a good fit. Being willing to do things that don't scale. So I think that, you know, in the marketing space, we're like, okay, your price point is at this. If it's a higher price point, that's when you include the live phone call. If you have someone on your team to do enrollment calls, and if it's below this price point, we don't want to do that. But at this time, when there is more content, you have to be willing to do things that don't scale, meaning one-on-one reach out on Facebook Messenger. You know, if you have a team who can do short enrollment calls or are qualified to do so, I think that's really important. And I think that even with traditional self-study programs, adding in live group coaching calls is just going to be another way to increase value as more content is available. And then the last thing I'll just say there is experiences. So hybrid of digital with live, I feel like that's a trend that's only going to become bigger, because right, as more people are learning content online, then it's about, okay, well, how can we bring in that live connection and make it even richer and build stickier communities?
Yeah, I love that. Sticky communities. And actually, before we even do the goodbye thing, I still want to know, I know people will ask about tech and platforms. What do you recommend?
My goodness, there's so many.
I know, it's such a huge question.
One thing I'll say is that people let themselves get blocked by platforms. Like, am I picking the perfect platform? At this point, platforms have evolved. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been running social media campaigns when a refer a friend program was a microsite, and it took days, if not weeks, to get this thing live. Okay, so I just want to be clear. It used to be really clunky and hard. Now you can get things up in a matter of hours. So at this point, my point is that the platforms are relatively even. There's limits and pros and cons to each one, but it's going to get the job done, especially when you're just starting to launch. So for membership site, I use Thinkific. If we're going to build landing pages, I like lead pages. ClickFunnels are great. But when you're getting going, you know, don't make it too much of a thing about picking the platform, mm-hmm. right? With email providers, I use Entreport. Most of my clients are on Infusionsoft. They're both going to get the job done. And then if you're earlier stage, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign. So I guess my point is there are tools in every arena. I use SamCard to do reporting, Stripe, PayPal. That's really kind of it. Like, you don't need to complicate this to get this live and to get this going. And when you get to the point where you may need to migrate systems, can that be a bit of a project? Sure. But that's a great problem to have if you that hit is. That level growth, right?
Yeah.
So don't let platforms and tech like bog you down. Yeah. Just get started and get going.
I love it. Get it started.
Yes. Get it started. Get this thing launched and get it live and out in the world to your first group of students. And you'll reiterate from there.
Yeah, I love it. Destiny, where can people find you?
So destinyberman.com is a great place to start. And I have a free training on there and have all kinds of great resources. And then message me on Instagram. So Des Berman, DESBERMAN. I'm very active on that platform and that channel. It's a great way to message me and to stay connected. And you'll find in both places how to find out more about my course launch trainings and all that I have within my universe.
Yeah. I love that you call it a universe. It's so you. And last question, this is something we ask every guest the first time they're on. If you could go back in time and tell your 25-year-old self or yourself who started what you're doing now, what would you tell them?
I would say to get mentors earlier on and to not be afraid of saying you don't know, and to not be afraid of having to come across like you know, I am just figuring this out. And I, you know, what I find is that in my earlier days when I just started, I was so afraid of people finding out I was an early entrepreneur, that you're like doing all these things to come across as more experienced. And the reality is that we all have our deep experience to rely on, and we all have areas that we're new in. And I had a lot of marketing experience, but I was a new entrepreneur. And there's no, you're not being in service to yourself if you can't be honest with that and to find mentors earlier on so you can fast track that growth, especially if you're impatient like myself and you just want to grow, grow, grow.
That's solid. That's solid advice. Awesome. Well, this was just an awesome conversation, and I love talking to you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. This was great.
Awesome. Well, cool. I hope you have an amazing holiday, and everyone listening, I hope you have just the best day in the world and an awesome weekend, and we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Hey DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.